This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Natural gas, fracking, the rescue of Europe one more time. Two or three times in the 20th century, Europe turned to the United States. Help. One more here in the 21st century. Help. But this time it's not about the military. It's about energy. And I welcome Bud Weinstein, writing at The Hill. Bud is an emeritus professor of applied economics at the University of North Texas, former associate director of the Maguire Energy Institute at SMU, a fellow of Good Enough College London, and my guide on energy in America. Bud, a very good evening to you. Natural gas. We can speak of oil and we will mention, but natural gas is the way forward for Europe if and when. Right now, we're shipping liquefied natural gas to Europe. And what I take it is that we can increase that amount of natural gas production soon enough, not immediately, but soon enough. We need pipelines and we need port facilities and we also need workers. Do I say all that correctly? And what is the opinion of the natural gas producers? Are they ready to answer the call? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, you're absolutely right. A lot needs to be done before we can ship substantially larger volumes of liquefied natural gas to Europe and other parts of the world, for that matter. Just the other day, President Biden promised the Europeans that the United States would send huge amounts of LNG to Europe in the near future. Now, I don't know how near that near future is, because right now, our facilities for liquefying natural gas, getting it onto these specialized tankers and sending that gas abroad is fairly limited. There are, you know, three large operating facilities along the Texas and Louisiana Gulf Coast, and there are two under construction. A year from now, yes, we will be able to increase our export capacity significantly, perhaps by another 25%. But this is really a long-run challenge. If the Europeans are serious about weaning themselves off of Russian natural gas, which they use for power generation and home heating and industrial purposes and petrochemicals, they must also make a commitment to build the infrastructure that's required to receive that liquefied natural gas. And that's going to be absolutely critical in terms of ensuring long-term contracts with U.S. LNG producers.
The workers, that's a profound problem that you present in your Hill article. The Permian Basin, Texas and New Mexico, the Bakken in North Dakota and Montana, the Roughnecks, where did they go? Why aren't they there now, Bud?
Remember that several years ago, when the COVID pandemic began, oil and natural gas prices cratered. I remember for a few days, oil was actually selling at a negative cost per barrel. But we went from about $60 or $70 oil to $20-$25 oil, and natural gas dropped from about $5 a million cubic feet to less than $2 a million cubic feet. In response to that and lower demand, yeah, a lot of wells were shut down. A lot of projects that were underway were abandoned. There were lots of wells that had been drilled, but they weren't completed. And as you say, a lot of roughnecks left the oil patch looking for work elsewhere. So now the demand has increased. You know, the price is very, very high, very attractive. But like many other industries, America's oil and gas sector is facing supply chain issues. And the biggest supply chain issue is finding workers. Workers, qualified workers who know how to operate these rigs, are in short supply. And what's more, if we're talking about the shale plays, the cost of frac sand, which is absolutely critical for well completions, has jumped nearly 200% just over the past year.
More detail. I love this stuff, but I really do. The 200% jump for frac sand, the search for steel casings, for well bores, all of this is price rising along with everything else on the planet because of the price of energy. Is it spiking now because it knows there will be demand, or was it always going up?
Well, these prices were going up before the Russia-Ukraine conflict began. There are bottlenecks all up and down the supply chain of the energy sector, just as there are in other industries. Some of these products are imported. A lot of the steel that's used in well drilling, a lot of the pipe has been purchased abroad. I don't believe we're getting any of that stuff from Russia. But, the problems, the tie-ups at the ports have affected access to these products. Now, that's starting to improve. But if you look at the bottom line, despite the high prices and despite the growing demand and efforts of Europe to wean themselves off of Russian oil and gas, it's going to take a while to significantly ramp up both oil and natural gas production in the United States.
Federal lands. This is important because the Biden administration has been keen on talking about federal lands and fossil fuels. I read from your reporting, 25% of U.S. oil production, 11% of natural gas comes from federal lands, both offshore and onshore. Is the Biden administration moving to increase those percentages?
That remains to be seen. By the way, those percentages have actually decreased in recent years. The Biden administration has been slow walking lease sales, both onshore and offshore. They're supposed to have a new 5-year leasing program for the Outer Continental Shelf, which includes the Gulf of Mexico. That hasn't come out yet, even though the current program expires in June. So the administration has really been sitting on its thumbs. And then to make matters worse, you may recall, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, President Biden said that there are 9,000 approved leases on federal lands that remain unused. But that was really kind of a misleading statement because selling a lease, issuing a lease, is just the first step in getting to the point of completing a gas or an oil well. It takes many, many months after that. You have to get additional permits. So I think it was kind of disingenuous for the administration to suggest that, oh, well, gosh, you know, we've issued all these leases, that the industry's at fault, that they haven't been ramping up production when they've had the opportunity on these federal lands.
Is the Interior Department committed to new lease sales? Is it ready to do it? Because there's ambiguity here. I can't solve it, but.
Well, I can't either. So one day they say we're temporarily resuming oil and gas leasing after several months of delay. And then they say, well, we're not really at the point of issuing leases or resuming sales. However, we are in the planning stage for a new leasing program. So I guess where I come down is that, yes, the private land, which is where most of America's oil and gas is produced, and there are some constraints on developing on private land that we can talk about, but there's tremendous potential on public lands if you think about the Arctic, if you think about offshore, and there's just nothing happening. And if we're going to get serious about helping Europe wean themselves off of Russian oil and gas, we've got to take a number of steps right now in order to assure that those supplies are available. You and I have talked about this before. We need to make it easier to get permits to build pipelines and new natural gas liquefaction facilities. And I think it's also important for the Biden administration to talk with a single voice. Right now we're getting contradictory messages about their stance on energy policy. And I understand that environmentalists still have a lot of sway. But look, if we're going to be serious, the Biden administration needs a dose of political and energy reality. We need to accelerate lease sales. We need to expedite the approval of pipelines and liquefied natural gas export facilities. We need to remove some of the more onerous regulations on oil and gas drilling and production. And we need to tone down the anti-fossil fuel rhetoric that we keep hearing from Washington.
Through 2050, which is far enough for me, Bud. You and I will not be here to make sure this is detailed, is accurate. But right now, the projections through 2050 is that America's energy consumption will increase. That means in order to help Europe, we've got to increase our production commensurately. We're going to need more. Europe's going to need more. And we're all going to need more of natural gas. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. The Energy Information Administration came out with its latest forecast, its annual energy outlook, about a month ago. And they see the demand for domestic petroleum and natural gas continuing to grow for at least the next 30 years. And they also find or project that, yes, renewable energy will be the fastest growing source in percentage terms, but petroleum and natural gas are going to continue to represent the overwhelming majority of energy consumption in the United States for at least the next 30 years. And that came out before this invasion of Ukraine by Russia. So if we're going to we need to increase production to satisfy domestic needs, and we need to increase production to satisfy demand in other parts of the world, particularly Europe.
But
only America has the opportunity to ensure global energy security.
Bud Weinstein, Emeritus Professor of Applied Economics at the University of North Texas, former Associate Director of the McGuire Energy Institute at SMU, a fellow of Good Enough College writing at The Hill. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.